Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, as we prepare to hear your word proclaimed, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds, speak to each of us, give us a message that is especially for us. So thank you, Lord. We pray that you will guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as you've heard me say many times during this season, Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And while we are now preparing to celebrate the arrival of the Christ child in Bethlehem, Advent does not end there. It is not a single season of the year, because we are ultimately preparing for Christ's coming yet again. So it becomes a lifetime of preparation for each of us. And I have repeated this message many times, because if there is one thing that I hope you will remember, it is that. It is that indeed it is a lifetime of preparation. But as a part of that preparation, today we are drawn to yet another unlikely character in the story of Jesus' coming, and that is the person of John the Baptist. He brings the most basic of messages about our preparation for the arrival of the Messiah. His message is one that makes many of us uncomfortable at times. His message, quite bluntly, is the message of repentance. Our scripture this morning says he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And that is a message that doesn't fit with so much of what we have been accustomed to during the Christmas season. At home, people are decorating, baking, hosting and attending parties, and simply getting ready for Christmas. But into our Advent Christmas activities each year enters John the Baptist. He interrupts our schedules and he demands that preparation of a different kind be made. He proclaims that we must get ready for Jesus, all right, but he's talking about preparing for Jesus on a much longer term basis. He is talking about changing our lives. Before we can bask in Christmas joy and the birth of a special baby, John forces us to examine ourselves and our world. And to do that kind of self-examination means that we need to take a step back from tradition, take a step away from shopping, and take a step around all of the social activities that await us. We need to examine our lives, our values, and our priorities. And friends, we need to be willing to change. That is how we should be preparing for the arrival of the Prince of Peace at Christmas. John the Baptist's proclamation is that we should repent and prepare. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, and it means literally to change one's mind or to turn around. And John calls all people to turn to God and from sin, to seek God's forgiveness, and to prepare the way of the Lord. Luke brings to us in today's scripture the poetic words of Isaiah. And clearly, he ties Isaiah's prophecy to the preaching of John the Baptist. Bear in mind that Isaiah was prophesying some 700 years before Jesus ever appeared on earth, but yet his prophecy was spot on. It says, "A voice of one calling in the desert." That's John the Baptist. "A voice of one calling in the desert will proclaim, 'Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain.'" This poetry of Isaiah clearly predicts a preparation that goes beyond the simple and the mundane, but rather it is a preparation that takes on a spiritual realm, a preparation for the Son of God. And then Isaiah saves the best for last. He proclaims that such grand preparation is for the greatest of all reasons. He says, "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Prepare the way of the Lord. If that is the central message from our passage, then there is meaning in God's choice of John the Baptist to proclaim that message. John, the wilderness dweller. In the Gospel of Luke, the Word of God does not come to the emperor. It does not come to other rulers of the time. It doesn't even come to the high priests of the church. No, it comes to simple John. John of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. John the Baptist is to us a great prophet who prepared the way for Jesus. But compared with political and religious leaders of his day, he was just an ordinary guy. And yet God chose John as the messenger and not the luminaries of his time. God sent the message to John, not in Rome, not in Jerusalem, but out in the wilderness. Not the seat of political or religious power, but the wilderness, the often scary and confusing place where God had spoken to his people in the past and through which God had led his people to a new and promised life. God's choice of John and the wilderness where he spoke to him are indications of what God expects from us. If John's message makes us a bit uncomfortable, that is probably a good thing. Our repentance, our turning around, if you will, will likely involve us looking at our own priorities and those things in our lives that we hold in high esteem. Perhaps we will find that we need to view the world around us in a different way, that our traditional priorities aren't really that important in God's eyes. And perhaps we will come to a revelation and preparing for the Lord Jesus that is actually about preparing ourselves to be in relationship with the Son of God. Imagine if that concept caught on in our society. Imagine if rather than marketing 60-inch televisions at Christmas time, we were marketing a relationship with the Son of God. Imagine how the world would change. At this time of year, I find myself reflecting more and more on the many blessings I have and the many significant relationships over the years that have brought me to where I am today. And now I'm experiencing my fourth Christmas season here in Floyd. It's causing me to think a lot about Christmases past. Many of the traditions with family and friends that had come to be routine are now just memories for me. God has called me to a new place in life, and I find myself in a new relationship with God, a relationship of love and trust. And there is no greater honor. I realize as I reflect that I have been in preparation for this time all of my life, really. I wasn't aware of it, perhaps, at other times in my life, but it's becoming very clear to me now. I know that I have shared with you before that on the farm where I grew up, we had a wonderful tradition of putting the Christmas tree in the corner of the living room of our house where it had windows on each side. And the lighted tree could be seen as my dad and I did chores at the barn and as we drove down the lane toward the house and as I walked at night with my dog under the incredible starlit skies in the country. I could always see that Christmas tree in the corner of the room. And there were always presents under the tree. As a child, I was excited about the presents. But now, as I look back with fond memories, the memories are not about the presents. They are about the house and the lighted tree in the corner window and what it represents, which is the warmth of a home that was filled with love. The memories are about parents who worked hard and sacrificed to provide for 5 sons, because they were doing it out of love, and they wanted us to have opportunities that they did not have. The memories are about neighbors who were always welcome in our home, even when they dropped by just before supper time. There was always enough, and we truly enjoyed the neighbor's company. The memories are of preparing for church on Christmas Eve, and driving into town for the candlelight service as a family, which always seemed so special. I don't remember most of the words spoken by Reverend Rundus, but I remember his kindness and warmth as a pastor. I do, however, remember him telling me that Christianity is not so much a religion as it is a way of life. Christianity is not so much a religion as it is a way of life. I was a teenager when my pastor told me that, and I do remember it today. You see, Advent is about a way of life. It is about living our lives in a way that prepares us for the coming of the Lord. It is a time of transformation. And as we become deeper in our relationship with Christ, the world, through us, will see love, compassion, and humility. And so let us love the Lord our God. Let us love one another. And friends, with our hearts and minds focused on Jesus, with anticipation of tomorrow, let us prepare the way for the Lord. To the glory of the coming Messiah. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, this is a special time of year, a time when we actually pause to think about the coming of Christ. And Lord, help us as we prepare the way. Help us to understand that the coming of the Christ child is not just about a special holiday that occurs once a year, but it is about the way we live our lives. It is about preparing the way for the hope of eternity. It is living our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Lord, during this season of the year, we are so grateful for all of the blessings that we enjoy. For those of us who have plenty to eat and have roofs over our heads, we give you thanks. But we remember those who are less fortunate. And Lord, for those who are facing other challenges in their lives, we do pray that you will be with them and that they will indeed feel your presence. We lift to you Janet and Martin Dean. We lift to you Joe and Janine and Jane and Phyllis and Russell. All of those whose names have been raised before you today, we pray that you will bless them and that they will feel your presence in their lives. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for coming as our Messiah. We pray all of this in the name of Christ our Lord, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.